suppose we clarify a few of the finer points here before we move on ahead. On the second seal, there went out another horse, and that was red. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Now you can see then, this isn't war on the earth, this is war in you. Conflict of will with the infinite Father. And this conflict of will within you sets up this inner turmoil, which happens in every one. And you can see why war finally does appear and why peace is taken from the earth. We take it from ourself. We cannot externalize peace because we do not have it within us. And this is how the peace is taken from the earth. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see," and beheld a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." Now on the black horse, we see that this rider, this intellect, this human mind, carries a pair of scales or balances. We're being told that when you sow to the mind, you reap of the mind. The balance from within is the same thing that occurs in the without. That which happens outside of you is that which happens inside of you. That's the pair of balances. And if you're sowing to the flesh, that's what you reap. And if you're not sowing to the Spirit, you cannot reap spiritual fruitage out there. You are making your own balance. You're harvesting only what you sow. That's the meaning of the balances. And the wheat, a measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny. It's really the same statement again. It's telling you that karma is a perfect bookkeeper. That which you reap is exactly what you have sown. You get what you pay for. If the price of wheat is so much and you pay so much, you get so much wheat for that price. You cannot receive more than you give. The law of karma makes the perfect adjustment so that what you're being told here is whatever you experience in your life is exactly what you have paid for. And your paying is done through your consciousness, because it is your consciousness that becomes your experience. You harvest your own consciousness. When you sow to the Spirit, to the Christ, that consciousness of the Christ becomes your harvest. Again, it's what you sow, what you pay for, that you harvest. And that's the meaning of a measure of wheat. It's not about scarcity at all. It's not about an epidemic of lack. It's that you have brought upon yourself that which you experience. And if you're lacking outwardly, it's because you're lacking inwardly. If you are bankrupt financially, it's because you're bankrupt spiritually. And this is why famine rides this horse. The mind of man is separated from the mind of the Father. It is therefore incapable of opening the book of life, of receiving the bread of life. And it is lacking. And ultimately, it produces a famine. within you, a spiritual famine. And then you go around this earth saying, I lack this and I lack that. But all you really lack is not the material things, you lack the substance which could have made those material things if you had been in the Spirit. This spiritual bankruptcy is the famine that rides the black horse, the absence of light. And it says there, in that same one, and hurt not the oil and the wine. You remember the five wise virgins were oiling their lamps. They hadn't forgotten to oil their lamps, which means they had kept open their consciousness to the inner Christ. They were in a state of oneness with Christ within. They were receiving divine lubrication. The oil always refers to those who are anointed by the Spirit. And the wine is the same, the wine of Spirit. Not just the truth of the letter, the word of truth that is spoken with the tongue. That's the water. In some cases, water means that. And that's why water was changed to wine, to show you that the letter of truth must become the living waters. The spirit of truth, which is called wine. And so if you are watching within, resting in the knowledge of Christ within, then you are in the wine of spirit. That is the fruit of resting within. Anointed by the oil, you receive the wine of spirit, and you are not hurt by lack, by famine, by war, by the things of this world. You are immune to the law of karma. All of that is being revealed in these symbols of the soul. And the fourth beast, the fourth horse, is this death itself. And power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. Now there's no power in death at all. But to know that, you have to go back to this fellow on the white horse, because he has made a very serious assortment of blunders. He went out to conquer, conquering and to conquer. What was he going to conquer? Who was he going to conquer? He thought he accepted the teaching of Jesus, but he didn't. Jesus didn't teach there is good and evil on the earth. He taught there is only light. Now what are you going to conquer? What is a do-gooder going to do if there's no evil out there to do good to? And so now we're being lifted. The purification is setting in. We're being lifted into the realization that you can never deny the fatherhood of God to any individual on this earth. God is the father of every individual on this earth, of every beast of the field. God is the father of all that is living. And call no man your father except one which is your father in heaven. Now the moment we turn around and deny the fatherhood of God for any individual on this earth, we have stepped off the white horse. I can't hate you without hating myself. I can't hate you without denying the omnipresence of God. And the minute I hate you, I deny God to be your father, because I cannot hate the child of God. And if God is not your father in my consciousness, then that judgment which I measure out to you is meted back unto me. The moment I have found a place where God is not, I am on one of the other three horses, and I will experience war, famine, or death. Unto the least of these, my brethren, I must see that God is the Father of all. And why is God the Father of all? Because the only Son of God is the infinite Christ that walks the earth now. If I look past the Christ of you to a person, I deny the fatherhood of God, the presence and the allness of Spirit. I perpetuate my own suffering. I condemn me, not you. There's no power in my condemnation of you at all. It's me that's condemned. And as you condemn another, you are condemning yourself. Literally. You are breaking yourself right out of the circle of Christ. And of course, the Lamb, which is the Christ of you, you are again slaying, crucifying as of old, as everyone in the world has been doing every day until the moment of realization that the Father within me is the very Christ of my own being. Now when the purification takes foot, takes a hold within you, you realize why it was necessary to walk in the identity of Spirit, in the acceptance that perfection is omnipresent, that love is omnipresent, that beauty and harmony are omnipresent, that grace is omnipresent. Because only now do you realize that you are receiving and accepting the impartations from those who have gone before you into a higher state of consciousness. Only now do you begin to be aware that a force has been exerted to synchronize the invisible kingdom with the visible. The overflowing of that invisible kingdom on earth into your consciousness is the receiving of the word of the angels, of those souls that have departed into a higher state of consciousness, whom John now describes as ever working to lift us into their kingdom on earth. And this is the beginning of the fifth seal then. And when he had opened the fifth seal, and this is the Lamb of God, the Christ in you opens the fifth seal, I, John, saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Having been slain for the word means that in their humanhood they learn to align themselves with the will of the Father, dying to personal self. That's how they were slain. Dying to personal will, dying to personal ambition, dying to personal desire. Becoming one with the will of the Father, they were slain. They entered the state of transition. They died to the false sense of self and were born of the Spirit, and made their transition, walking through the experience of death without being touched. And they in the higher consciousness are those who are now beheld by John as the souls at the altar. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? They want to know why there is still hate and violence and war and famine and death on this earth. If they died to their personal selfhood, why? And if they strive so hard to bring us this intelligence of a higher life, why do we still continue in ignorance? And that is the meaning. Within you, the higher self is ready to lift the lower self, but the lower self isn't ready for some reason. And the voice responds, and the white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. In other words, the higher importations, divine revelation, cannot come to you until you have aligned your will with the Father within. When you have aligned your will with the Father, you are said to be killed. You are slain of personal will. And then in the one will, the higher importations of revelation move through you from those who have gone before us into higher consciousness. Always remember then that the killing and the slaying is a symbolic term for the dying daily to personal will, personal sense of self. A separated me who walks the earth separate and apart from a separated someone else, all of us walking apart from a God. And that sense of separation from each other and from God only begins to stop as we learn to become one will with the Father's perfect will. Now, up to this point of the fifth seal, those of us on earth have not fully lined our will up with the Father, so we are not slain to personal self. And so the sixth seal cannot be opened. The invisible kingdom cannot be synchronized with the visible. The blessings of those in higher consciousness cannot overflow into our consciousness. But as we learn to do this, the sixth seal is opened. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair. The moon became as blood. Now, before all this violence begins, you must see the symbology of the soul very clearly here. When the will of the Father and you are one, when the personal self is relinquished, when the purification has taken effect so that no longer are you a pawn for the world mind, which pushes emotions through you, sense beliefs, concepts, appearances, images which you think must be changed, when you are to that extent redeemed from the false beliefs of the senses, when divine blood is flowing through you as the living will of the Father, opening the sixth seal, then the greatest shock of your experience occurs. You should be prepared for it. It is described here as an earthquake. Now, it isn't the end of the world at all. There's no great foreboding about this. This has been painted by those who have read it from the letter of the word. Everything up to this point has been the acceptance of a material world in some way. Oh yes, we could try to believe that we are not physical being but spirit, but we still depend on the sun for heat, for warmth, the stars for light at night. There are certain things about the physical world so deeply implanted in us that now, when we come into true illumination, we discover that there is no reality in the physical world whatsoever. We discover the sugar spun candy of materiality. It's very shocking. And it's described here as an earthquake. And you'll notice that everything in the world that we think is permanent, safe, secure, we see through it now. These things aren't destroyed, as they are depicted here, to the unillumined. These things aren't destroyed at all. We learn we don't depend on them anymore. We see through them. And our seeing through them, we recognize the lie of their being. And the lie that we recognize is described here. That is the reason. With the sixth seal, there was a great earthquake. This is a complete overthrowing of your material consciousness. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair. The moon became as blood. The unfailing light of the sun, we don't depend on it anymore. We are the light. The moon became as blood. The stars of heavens fell unto the earth. You know how precision and order is the rule of the heavens. The stars move in just a certain way. Not just one star out of the Big Dipper, but the whole Dipper moves. It's always there, moving together. There's a certain precision. The astrologer can tell you within an instant what will be where and when. But now the stars are falling out of the sky like unripe figs in the wind. Why? We're seeing through the physical realm. We're seeing through our false sense of stability about it. The heaven departed as a scroll. When it is rolled up, when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. The unswerving stability of the mountain, it isn't there. You're in that consciousness which can say to the mountain, be thou removed. The sky isn't what it was a moment ago. Everything that had seemed so constant, so stable, so secure, so safe, to you is seen as a myth. You no longer seek to find your security in the material world. You have found a better security. You have found there is safety in identity. There is stability in Christhood. There is security only in being spiritual self. And you find why a simple little sunbeam can never be killed, although a person can. It is upheld by the fullness of the sun. And as you are in spiritual identity, you are upheld by the fullness of the Spirit. You walk in the third dimension untouched by it because you are really in the fourth. You push the mountains of matter into the sea, out of your consciousness. All of this is the disappearance of the belief, the concept of materiality from your consciousness. It is not the end of the physical world. It is not violence. It is not hate. It is not these things that men have thought. It is the purification of your consciousness into the realization that spirit is all that is here. That happens as you go through these steps of reaching the inner Christ. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. You see, every human authority is destroyed for you. There are no human authorities in spirit. And these kings and the rulers and the great men and the rich men, they all represent the false beliefs in the powers of this world, which have no power whatsoever over your spiritual identity. And they're hiding, trying to hide under rocks. Shows you that these concepts in you begin to melt away. They are all trying to hide from the wrath of God. You know what wrath means? You've seen it a lot in the Bible too. The wrath of God is divine love. You know why it's called wrath? The love of truth to those who are not in truth seems like wrath. The love of truth of God is so perfect that all that is unlike truth must hide under rocks, must fear. It's fearing the love. It's hiding from the love, which is called the wrath, because love is wrath to those who are in untruth. And they are being freed from their untruth. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And so now, you move through the feeling of the sixth seal. Christ in you releases divine love, and every belief, unlike the Father, begins to move out of your consciousness. I want you to spend some time preparing for the seventh seal by carefully taking inventory. And I don't believe we'll do that seventh seal today. The greatest barrier right now, outside of the three horses that we have all been riding so strenuously, is the fact that although we wish to overcome the belief in matter, we don't know how. And as a result, we may make every sincere effort to do so, but we still get off the white horse onto the gray one, the pale one, and we still have a human me here in a physical form. Do you remember that wind that nobody knows about, where it came from? It listeth, and whence it comes, nobody knows. That was how Jesus explained to Nicodemus about the Spirit. You see the effects of the wind. You feel the wind, but you don't know the unseen force that produced the wind. So with spirit, it's the unseen force that produces the material appearance. Now this invisible spirit is all there is. And it is God. And it is light. And it is perfection. And it is here. And even though you may feel that you are riding the white horse of truth and purity, and have conquered the pale horse, the red horse, and the black horse, the mind, the body, the emotions, this must now extend to all who walk the earth. You see, those three horses were not your mind, your body, your emotions at all. How could they be if your name is Spirit? The invisible adversary that we must agree with is the world mind. We have all thought we are going through an initiation, and we are, but not the way we think. The initiation isn't to your mind and your body. Your soul is going through the initiation. This isn't the arena. This isn't where it's happening. Your soul is going through the initiation, and its adversary is the world mind. Your soul passing through the world mind is being initiated. And what happens here in form is only the shadow of that initiation. Even the material self in which we walk is but the shadow cast by the soul as it goes through the world mind. The shadow of the valley of death is where the image walks. And your work isn't down here in the shadow, in the image. Your purification takes you out of those three seals in which you are entombed in an image trying to get somewhere and you can't. But with that fifth seal, you began to feel soul consciousness. You weren't entombed in emotions, in physicality, in mind. And that meant you weren't expressing the world mind. You were being redeemed from it and brought to reconciliation with the soul. And now you have turned the tables. You have turned within. You are repenting. The soul is passing its initiation because the purpose of your soul is to take dominion over your form. That is the initiation your soul is going through. It must take dominion over your form. It must take dominion over this world. And when your soul takes dominion over your form, you will open the seventh seal. Then the Christ of you will open the seventh seal and you will stand on the throne with him who ascended to the throne before you. Now your biggest obstacle is this material universe. Matter has been very carefully pointed out, even by the physicist, as nothing more than energy. It is not a substance. It is energy. And more specifically, it is electrical energy. And the images you are looking at are made of electrical energy. It's that simple. You are looking at electrical energy in the form of images called things, persons, conditions, forms. And these electrical energy images are nothing more than mortal mind appearing as. The hardest part of our hypnosis is to look at these images, these appearances, these masses of electricity. And to see that the moment anything becomes matter, it is on its way to decomposition. All matter in the universe is slowly decomposing the moment it is born. Why? Because it is not of God. There is no life in it. It is not a living substance. It is an electrical image. You have to live with that a while until matter does not fool you. And you cannot do that while you are still in the emotions or the mind. All matter vibrates. And all motion in matter is caused by your reaction to those vibrations. Now, when you look at an object, you think it has color, but it has no color whatsoever. Your reaction to its vibrations give it its color. Your reactions to its vibrations give it its length, its depth, and its width. The qualities of matter are your reaction to the vibrations of that matter. And those vibrations are electrical impulses. And you must remember, you are made of electrical impulses too. And the rate of your vibration in relationship to the rate of its vibration determines your experience. All motion, all time, all space, all material consciousness is the relationship of one set of vibrations to another set. And that is not the world that Christ Jesus walked in. He discovered another world where there is no vibration. My kingdom is not a world of vibration. And if you want to walk in my kingdom, you must find a way to resist not evil. And evil is resisted only in one way. The vibrations of your electrical self respond to the vibrations of that which you think is evil. To resist not means to remove the vibration of your being, to come into a state of non-vibration. And so it's called non-reaction, non-resistance, and it means non-vibration. When you are in a state of non-vibration, then vibrations that touch you find no reaction in you, and you're not involved. Non-vibration is the method, the silence in the wilderness that takes you into the invisible kingdom of non-vibration. The still waters of the Spirit. He leadeth me beside the still waters. As you learn to live with Christ in you, you are taken into the still waters, the kingdom of non-vibration, in which world thought cannot move through you because you are in a state of no thought. Your non-thought takes you out of the emotions, out of the mind, out of the material world of vibrations, into the non-vibrating, perfect spiritual universe where all is one. The man on the white horse didn't know that. And so he was lifted by world mind onto many horses. Each of us has to now come to the stillness, for it is the only way to step out of the belief in a material universe. All of your mental belief that there is no material universe will do you no good. It isn't enough to read the instructions on how to bake a cake, or how to drive a car, or how to swim. You must then go out and do it. We have read the Bible, and that's only the instructions. We have read the six seals, and that's only the instructions. We must do it. We must come into a state of non-resistance to matter. And you cannot do it while you are in a state of vibration, which is a state of thought. You must be still. You must go through the silent years in the wilderness. Now, our little friend Nicodemus came by night to Jesus, which means he came in a state of spiritual darkness. Night. And Jesus said, "Are you a teacher of Israel and you don't know these things that I'm teaching you?" He was third on the Sanhedrin. And he was teaching religion. But he was steeped in a material consciousness. And everything about the words of Jesus, he weighed through a material consciousness. And when Jesus said to him, "Marvel not that I say ye must be reborn," of the water and the spirit, or else you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And that being reborn means you must leave behind your consciousness of matter. Reborn of the water and of the spirit. The water is the purification, the symbol of purification from the emotions and the mind and the belief in matter. And then you are in a state of non-vibration. And in the state of non-vibration, the vibrations of the world move against a vacuum. And you find you walk through the material world immune to the law of karma. No vibrations in the world can touch the vacuum of spirit. And only in this vacuum does the spirit or divine blood begin to flow with a will that raises the Christ in you that can come and take from the Father the book of truth or reality. Now we're going very deep into mysticism here, but you must remember that the seventh seal is what we're preparing for. If this helps you to realize why you have been carefully learning how to be still, then it will have served a function. Your stillness is the pathway to immunity to the false powers of the world that come through the world mind, invading your privacy unknown to you, dethroning you from the horse of purity, and making you ride every kind of horse in spite of your own will to the contrary. Your deep stillness brings the deep silence of His peace. And when peace is established in you, then no amount of unrest in the world can enter the peace of your spiritual sanctuary. And you're ready then to witness the seventh seal removed. Now I've tried to give you some of the physical reason as well as the spiritual behind the silence. Because ultimately the world must see that there is a reason, and that the Christ of Jesus was so far ahead of all the science of this world, knowing all that is slowly evolving in the time sequence of men's lives. It is to this Christ that you turn yourself over. The principles on which you stand are: God is all. God is my Father. God is Spirit. Spirit is my Father. And that means that I was not born of flesh, but I was a spiritual child. Now I am aware of it. I am pure spirit. Christ is my name. The only horse I will ride is the horse of Christ. Every time I am tempted to ride another horse which denies Christ, I will know that I am turning away from the opening of the seals to the throne of the Father. I am surrendering to the horsemen of the apocalypse. I am letting the world mind rule my life. And my soul is not passing its initiation that way. But as I here in this consciousness surrender my concepts, accepting the presence of Spirit, the presence of God, the power of God, it is because my soul is getting through to me. It is passing its initiation. It is overcoming the world mind. It is moving through the lie about God and standing in the truth about God. It is moving through the unreal and standing in reality. And its intelligence is communicating with this human sense of self and becoming my intelligence. I am becoming one with my own soul. I am being lifted out of mind. And when I am lifted out of mind, I am lifted out of the influences of the world. For the world has no power over my soul. You're being lifted to soul consciousness. Is the pathway of the seven seals. And each seal that you pass through seals you from it for life. You never have to turn back. To those of you who will take this lesson and try with your mind to memorize it, let me say this. That's a good beginning if you want to do that. But you couldn't memorize the instructions to bake a cake and pretend that you have a cake. And if you memorize these words, it's not enough. You must go into the actual experience of release. You must be willing to let the sun turn to sackcloth, to let the stars fall out of the sky, to let the mountains be pushed into the sea. Be willing to see every material concept crumble, for that is the great barrier to the light. Your mental material concept is the barrier to the very light of the Father, and it is the denial of the allness of the light. That's where you must dwell in consciousness. And don't be concerned for a minute if you don't think you're getting anywhere. We've all gone through that long spell of not getting anywhere. It's frustrating. But it's necessary. And even though you think you're not getting anywhere, it is the path. And that's why the sixth seal comes as such a shock. The early illumination, the earthquake, the overturning, is all because you have gone through the first five steps. The successive victories in emptying out the emotions, the intellectual concepts, the belief in the five senses, these successive victories are necessary for the ultimate victory, which is selfhood realized in Christ. So please don't be faint-hearted. You're just following a path that all those who move toward the truth of being must follow. You can't turn away thousands of years of conditioning in 6 months or a year or two. Next week we will open the seventh seal. And I'm sure that we'll be ready for it. Meanwhile, there's nothing to stop you from going in for revelation about its meaning, from reading it, from being still with it, and going into the wilderness and saying, Father, reveal thyself to me, thy presence, that I may know thee aright. Lay down your will. The great secret of this complete revelation of John is thy will be done in me. The world walked past that with lip service, thy will be done. John is showing us how to obey that commandment. And the narrow path to life eternal is to learn how to obey that commandment. Thy will be done. Not mine. The Christ of you is doing that now. And as you are able to surrender to that Christ, you are saying to the Father, thy will be done. Not with your human mind will you surrender to Christ, but by the absence of your human mind. You will surrender to Christ by being in that state of non-vibrational stillness, which releases the soul activity of you, and through that soul activity, Christ will be perceived. There will be a marriage. And the soul of you, which has been wedded to the world in the false marriage with the world mind, will be wedded with the Christ in the mystical marriage of reality. From that marriage, truth is born in your consciousness. Now you should be at the place where you can relax in your soul, helping your soul in its initiation. Learning that you are now in a state of oneness with your soul, that you can depend on your soul, that it knoweth your needs, that it is present, it is feeding you, it has established communication with you. Hold on to that. And let the soul be your hidden manna, the meat the world knows not of. Rely on it. You'll only find its presence by relying on it. Otherwise, world thought will lift you right into its stream of falsehood about the truth of being. Now you're out there walking on nothing, it might seem to you. But again, that's the way. You walk on the nothingness of the physical senses, but you're really walking on the allness of spirit until your confidence is firmed up. There is nothing but spirit in this universe. There's not even a you to complain. That one who complains does not exist. Spirit is all. Now let that be our watchword until spirit takes over your consciousness. I think the seventh seal begins in the eighth chapter. No, the seventh chapter. So we're starting with the seventh chapter next week. The angels at the four corners of the earth, descending from the east, having the seal of the living God. The new horizon, the new Jerusalem. Thank you very much.